Hey, everybody, my name is Stevie B. I'm a grateful believer and a recovering alcoholic. And wow, that was powerful, huh? So powerful. And for those of you guys that didn't know Larry, you know, Larry passed away with, what, 19 years? And no, that's the difference between living a life that's worth living and getting a video like that of you from your best friends. And, you know, I'm left with, you know, a couple thoughts about that. It was very heavy. It was very beautiful. And how Serge has not aged well, you know. Kind of like a thought. I just needed to say that because we were all thinking that, you know. Welcome to the guys that I haven't met. Your name is?
Jason.
Jason. How you doing, Jason? Good to see you, man. You know, Alcoholics Anonymous, for most of us here, not only changed our lives, but changed the course of our lives. It changed the groups we would hang out with, the places we went. Larry, since this is a Friends with Larry retreat, Larry changed, it's possible he changed the very fabric of my family by one comment that he made to tell me that not having a child, I had all these trips planned and we had already lost a child. And back then, Ernie was, you know, very, very instrumental in my life and helping shape the person that I really that I am today. When we lost the baby to miscarriage and Ernie was over at our house, like, you know, within the first couple of days and reminded me that I needed to pray for the acceptance of God's will, that God didn't cause the baby to die, but that just pray for the acceptance of God's will. And a lot of you, well, some of you men were around me during that time. And Larry, you know, said how stupid I was being and how selfish I was being for not going ahead with the adoption. And I had said something like to Larry, to Steve and Larry, and I'm not sure how else was there, is that, well, if God wanted me to have a baby, I would have already had a baby. So obviously it's not in the plans. And I didn't even know Larry was up because he was, you know, bent over and sleeping, when he was smoking his cigar. And so I didn't know he was going to weigh in on the conversation. And he picked up his head and he goes, "Schmuck." And I was like, what was that all about? He's like, "You're a schmuck," which, you know, in Yiddish means you're a dick and you're stupid and that you should stop being selfish. And if you can adopt a baby, do it. And Larry was right. I'll always thank him for his eloquent words during that time. And he was right. We got to adopt Joshua and Joshua changed our lives. And my wife and I have a life that's, you know, worth living today. And the state of Florida said that you can't adopt. I can't adopt in the state of Florida, because in my previous sobriety, I was sober before. And in my previous sobriety, coming out of the Fort Lauderdale men's group on a Wednesday night, I saw a woman walking in the street. And I thought it would be a great idea to see if she needed a ride. And to see how much that would cost. And when I asked her how much it cost to give her a ride, I was arrested for that little trying to be, what do you call that, Ed? Oh, yeah, solicitation. Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, so I was arrested for solicitation. And because I was arrested for solicitation, because she was a police officer, I think it was a misunderstanding. I was just, it was like before Uber, and I was like trying to like start a whole program. I was arrested for that. And because of that, I'm not allowed to adopt in the state of Florida because the statute on that is keeps you from being able to adopt. However, God didn't pay attention to that. And another man, may God rest his soul, Bob Heaton, Happy Bob, is the one that put me in touch with this beautiful Jewish woman in Boca, Mindy. And Mindy's the one that did our home study. And Mindy's the one that believed in my wife and I and signed off on our home study. And because of Larry and Ernie and Happy Bob, may God rest his soul, my life has changed forever. And it got me to thinking that, you know, for myself and John, we both relapsed with having years of sobriety. And how this time around, I'm sure it's the same for John, and anyone else that had long Tony, that if you don't recreate your sobriety currently and you try to use something from the past, using something from the past never works, especially in a happy, contented sobriety. And there's a verse that says that wisdom comes in a multitude of counsel. And for myself and for a lot of you, the wisdom from multitude of counsel comes from this type of conclave, this type of gathering, this type of even I think sometimes when I show up at the cigar circle, there seems to be frivolous talking or talk that I would not usually engage in. I know that God is even in the cigar circle, that God is in the small talk, that God is in Happy Bob making the call and Mindy coming to my house and her looking up at a giant picture of Jesus and not judging and saying, do you think that God gave you another chance after looking at my testimony? And I said, I know he did. And she signed off on a home study. And then God brought us a baby, even though I'm not allowed to adopt in the state of Florida. And as we go through our lives, as we go through what has happened to us in our recovery, there was times for all of us where the people that were the closest to us or the people that were in that vicinity right there may have just said a word, may have just said, well, did you think about taking a look at it this way? If wisdom comes in a multitude of counsel, my job is to do exactly the opposite of the quote from Herbert Spencer, which is, I need to be open-minded and not have contempt prior to investigation. One of the things I've learned through the years, and it'll be coming up, this sobriety will be coming up. I just celebrated 23 years in this sobriety, is that there's so much more that I don't know than I do know. And I have been gifted with the fact of that knowledge, that the more that I listen and the less that I speak when I'm around you guys, the more I can find out the things that I don't know. And through the years, I have had a wonderful mentors, men and women, incredible men and women in my life, that I can't even picture my life not being in today. I'll give you an example, the Eds. I did not know them. You guys all knew them. I had a commitment for a couple years on Thursdays, so I wasn't coming to the Westside Men's Group on a regular basis. I came to a cigar circle. I met Ed and Ed in that cigar circle. And, you know, it's been a life-changing experience. I get to see Ed O a couple times a week. The way I feel about Ed when we were here at retreats is just beautiful. Now, I didn't know that was going to change some of the course of my life. And I would imagine John would say the same thing. My relapse was the best thing that ever happened to me. Because during that relapse is when I became sweetly reasonable. I'm not, by the way, not recommending anyone relapse. But for me, I was so full of myself the first time that I was already a full cup. The cup was already full. You know, came in at 24, stayed sober till I was 31, amassed a little bit of money and married a beautiful woman and had a nice house. And I thought that everything was that I was on autopilot. When I relapsed and went back to drinking, the cup was poured out. I'm sure probably the same thing happened to you, Tony. And when that cup poured out, that's when I met God. And when I met God, which is, you know, the whole basis of what I believe that our retreat is about, what we had in common with Larry, what we have in common with everyone here, is that seeking to have a closer personal relationship with God. And, you know, sometimes when people hear me say that, they think I'm saying religion, and I'm not. Religion is the way that I get closer to God in some ways, but so is Alcoholics Anonymous. It's not that I'm a pro-religion. It just works for me. I'm pro-AA. I'm pro-religion. I'm pro-yoga. I'm pro-breathwork. There's a lot of things. I'm pro-meditation. There's a lot of things that I use on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, that the Bible gets me closer to God. But that doesn't mean that's your path. That's my path. But I'm not going to be shy about the path that I'm on. I'm not going to be shy on the path that we're on. I'm not saying if you don't do it that way, you can't get to the place I'm at, because I'm not saying that. But I am saying if you asked me how I lost 60 pounds over the last 3 years, I'm going to tell you that doesn't mean that's your way that you need to do it. You see, I think one of the greatest things that we have here, this gift, is that each one of us have different experiences. Each one of us brings another thing to the table. I'm not going to speak for John. Last time I'm going to mention his name, but I would probably believe after all the work that John did in his first sobriety, that his cup was filled to the top with all his knowledge. And when he fell over in the home group at the Westside Men's Group and we had to pick him up, his cup emptied out. And I would imagine his sobriety now is 50 times more contented, because every day on the last day of February, 2025, this is the only day that we have. It's not a dress rehearsal. Every day is another day that we're going to learn something. Steve Schwartz, we never spoke before, but I had the blessing of two retreats ago, spending time with him in the jacuzzi. And and this may be true or not. I'm not saying this. I always thought he couldn't stand me because we never spoke, and it may be still true, but I learned so much from him about him and his son and his business and how he did all the right moves, some of the right moves financially, and how he helps people and where his different homes are. It was a blessing for me to go. I pulled myself out of the pool and made sure I sat next to him, because I said, you know what? You have contempt prior to investigation. You think this person doesn't like you, and he may not. But wouldn't it be great if you could learn from him some things that you don't already know? And that's the way I proceed through life. Now I go to a place that I'm a Christian, I'm a minister, I'm a pastor, and I go to a place that's a Buddhist type of like they got Buddhist statues. I think it's Buddhist statues. They have little Asian heavy men statues, and there's candles around. To me, I think it's Buddhist. I'm not sure. I never asked, and I don't know. And when I brought other Christian people there, they immediately got freaked out. But it doesn't freak me out, because I know who I am. And I can go to this place of meditation and not worry about it infecting me, because I know who I am. I like to use the analogy that if I go to the mall and there's a men's room and a woman's room, I'm never standing outside the men's room and the woman's room contemplating. Hold on. Am I going this way? Or am I going this way? I know I'm a man. I'm going to the men's room. If I'm sober, I'm going to the men's room. If I know where I am, if I know who I am, I know where I'm going. And I think that's one of the greatest gifts that we have in sobriety, is we can be open-minded to other people's ideas. We can gather different types of information. If it doesn't work for us, right, we can let it go by us, right? And then find the things that works for me. Reading the Bible works for me. Reading the big book works for me. Prayer meditation works for me. But in the last couple of years, I've gotten involved with some Eastern type of things that don't negate everything that I just said. I can do yoga and go to a place that has Eastern things and not become a Buddhist. Not to say that there's wrong with becoming a Buddhist. It's just not my path. I don't have to worry about what your path is. We can have a healthy exchange. I think that's one of the beautiful things about Alcoholics Anonymous. It's all inclusive. It's never exclusive. And I don't have to be worried about what you're doing. If it works for me, I can receive it and I can get more information. The last 2 years of my walk with breath work and cold plunging and meditation and yoga, I never even thought ever in my entire life at 57 years old that I would even be using those type of words. And if I use them around in Christian circles, and maybe some of the, you know, serious Christians are here, they're like already judging me, but it doesn't matter. It's my path. It's helped me. It's helped my relationship with people. It's calmed me down. I'm a very high strung, you know, type A personality. And when I'm in the cold plunge for 5 minutes, Mike O.C. is in the cold plunge for 15 minutes, but when I'm in the cold plunge for 5 minutes, it's just me and God. When I'm in yoga and I'm doing breath work, it's just me and God. And my God does not have to be the same God as yours, although I believe it is the same God, but how you get to your God and how I get to my God, that's everybody's individual path. So I threw a lot of things out there. What am I trying to say? Alcoholics Anonymous not only helped me to be more open-minded, because Steve knows, Steve's one of my closest friends in the whole world. He knows how close-minded I was, especially in my early years. You know, if it wasn't my way, you know, if it wasn't the way that my church talked about it, if it wasn't that way, then it was bad. Right, Steve? And I really couldn't get myself out of that path, because it was the only path that I knew. And then I found out there was so much more that I didn't know than I do know. And when you get to that place where you want to learn, and my whole life now is, what can I learn? What can I learn from you? What can we share together? What is it that's working for you, that's bringing you happiness, that I may be able to glean from? Why would I believe that I have all the information of the world and know everything there is to know about God? It's like me trying to have the entire ocean in a cup. Like, let me scoop a little piece of the ocean and I know everything there is about the ocean. No, I don't know everything. I know what's in that cup. But if I make my cup bigger, if I make my pot bigger, if I make my boat bigger, if I make my fellowship bigger, if I make my community bigger, then I can learn so many things for so many other people. I think one of the beautiful things about Larry, and I'm just going to talk about Larry for one more second. I think one of the beautiful things about Larry is Larry was really open-minded, but he had very serious belief systems, but was okay with himself. Wouldn't you say that Larry was okay with himself? I mean, and looking at Larry, I wouldn't have been okay with myself. I mean, he is, to me, the epitome of, I would be like, hey, you need some work. There's some work you need to do. You were like this tall. Now you're this tall. You're hunched over. You're smoking all. I mean, there's some stuff to do, but he didn't care. He was happy with himself. He's happy with his family. His children loved him. His wife loved him. You loved him. We loved him. So really, maybe Larry had the secret. You know, I can't go out of the house in the morning unless I shave. I can't go out of the house in the morning unless I've spritzed cologne. My pants have to be a certain tightness. That there's a lot of room for improvement there. I'm sharing with you that I know that some of my defects have grown and other defects have went away. But I think that's a beautiful process. I think the beautiful process of step three, which is not step three that I took in 2002, my step three, made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God, is a step three today. And I just want to just share with you about my week. And I help addicts and alcoholics. I try to help them to get sober. I don't have multiple degrees, but I have a lot of enthusiasm. I'm a pastor and I have a faith-based small little program. And one of my guys that I was mentoring for the last month, we do everything together. 5 days a week, 6 days a week, the gym, not the gym, cold plunge, breath work, meditation, steps, meetings, church, Bible study. We spent the last month together. And I really thought I was getting through to him. It really seemed like I was getting through to him. We had a great experience together. We even did this extended breath work thing that I'm going to do tomorrow, which only happens once every couple months. And it was really, really special. And he graduated, which I didn't want him to graduate. I thought that he should stay another month. It was only 30 days, but he was going back to Hawaii and had to go back to work. 33 years old, he celebrated his 34th birthday with us 2 weeks ago. And everything seemed like it was fine. He got on the plane. He went to Hawaii. We had his birthday, got in the plane, went to Hawaii, got there Friday, and died Sunday. And from the information I received, he was an alcoholic, but he never told me that ever he had tried fentanyl. He never shared that with me. I can only know what he shared with me. Not that I could have done anything different. I only know one way. It's the 12 steps. It's God. It's a prayer and meditation. It's now exercise. I only know one way. Not like if he would have said fentanyl, I could have tweaked it. But this beautiful little 33-year-old, there was no sign of him doing, he was just a wonderful, incredible guy, and just so nice and so loving and gentle. He didn't even make it through the weekend. So Monday I come to work and I'm thinking, you know, it's a lot to take in. You know, Thursday we're in breathwork class together. We're having a sandwich at Starbucks and Sunday he's gone. And then Tuesday, a quarter of my treatment center, it's a very small treatment center, like 30 people, a quarter of them, I don't know if I told you that they were all using drugs. There was a ton of drugs found, and that's why they were such in a good mood on Bible study on Wednesday. They were all high. I had no idea. I was like, wow, I'm really getting through to these people. And then Thursday, I was looking down at my phone to go pick up one of my clients, and I had a car accident because of me, because I was not paying attention. And then today we got more bad news at work. And it was like a whole week of that, right? And so when Steve said, would you like to come up and share tomorrow night? I said, yeah, I would love to, because I need you guys. And I'm really glad to be here because I'm not any good to me or my family if I don't have this. If I'm not able to share what's going on in my life, right? And I'm not talking about finances. I didn't bring up finances. I'm talking about the real things of the world. If I am not able to share about this stuff, if I act like everything's perfect, if everything's fine, then that's going to build up in me. And I'm not saying I would take a drink, but I could. I'm not saying I would think about contemplating suicide, but I have. I'm not saying I'm thinking about quitting meetings, but I've thought of that too. Not this week, not in the last couple years. But I believe that there's an enemy of our sobriety, and the enemy of our sobriety wants us to quit. And those of us that have been here any length of time have seen a lot of our friends quit. We were looking at videos right there. One of our dear friends, Tim Green, was up there just now. A whole bunch of other people were actually passed away. We had Russell that I was trying to personally mentor. He was up there on the screen. He passed away. Never tried fentanyl his entire life until he did. The day he tried fentanyl was the last day he lived. And there was other people up on the screen that were beautiful people that used to come to this retreat, and they just stopped doing what they were doing. So when it says that my sobriety, my serenity is based off the maintenance of my spiritual condition, it's not what Bobby Leone did 20 years ago. What's attractive to us now, I would hope, is the work you're doing today. Because for me, I want what you have, and I'm willing to go to any length to get it, but I'm also very careful on, I'm always very careful about judging my insides with your outside. I want to hear what your insides sound like, and I'm not going to judge because you have, you know, this or this or this, and then I'm not worthy. I think the most beautiful thing about what we have here is that each one of us, iron sharpens iron, each one of us has a message for the next person. But here's the kicker. We don't know who the next person is that needs to give the message. I didn't know 15 years ago, it was when Ernie said, pray for the acceptance of God's will, that was going to be a life-changing memory in my mind that I'll never forget it. I did not know that when Happy Bob told Marianne and that told Mindy to come to my house, that would change my life. I did not know that being in I met Steve when he was a kid at another retreat where we were in a small group together in the chapel of, what was that called? The Cenacle. I did not know that weekend when we were both the Steves and he was picked to speak and they got it confused and they asked me to speak as the newcomer share that we were going to be close friends for the rest of our lives. I did not know most of the things that have happened in my life. But here's what I want to tell you. If we believe we have all the answers, you'll have all the answers. I come to each one of these retreats. This one I wasn't supposed to come to, but I had some really, really good friends speaking. I want to hear different people that I haven't heard before. And my wife, because she knows I'm like a big Ed fan, she said, all right, I'm going to let you go this one time. And she allowed me to go. I have expectations of this weekend, but they're reasonable expectations. Number one, here's one. Number one, I believe that it's important to have expectations. I think the people that are successfully, financial successfully, they'll tell you that it's important to have a plan. You don't just become successful. You just, that's called playing the lottery. The people that are financially successful, they have a plan. The people that are physically successful, they have a plan. It just doesn't look like you just woke up with that body. It's like you do something to get that. That's a plan. The people that are emotionally secure, they have a plan. The pure people that are spiritually secure, they have a plan. I think one of the greatest stories we've ever heard is Robert, who came from prison to be one of the most respected people in Broward County. That's like an unbelievable, but that was a plan. Yes, the grace of God. Yes, some good fortune, but also a lot of hard work, right? How John Duchin had a bakery shop and a hair salon thing and all that stuff, then became a therapist. How Ernie at 40 years old, who's doing blinds, and the blind business go out of business, and he says, I want to become a therapist at 45, and then gets his master's at 45, and now he's been doing that. These all things take planning and studying and work and doing. And one of the main defects of character for me is sloth. And I have to be very careful of it. If the seven defects of character, the seven deadly sins, are the things that I need to watch out for, those are the main pride, anger, greed, envy, lust, and sloth, I have to be very careful of the sloth because that's the sneakiest one. The lust is, every day reminds me I'm battling lust. Every day, all day. Not right now, but all day, up in here. Envy is the older I get, the more envy seems to be like a close personal friend. That's my thing. That's not your thing. The older I get, it seems like I'm judging, more my insides with your outsides. But sloth is the one, laziness is the one that really can really get me, and I won't know it, and I'll tell you why. Laziness shows up in my life like comfortability. It shows up in my life like I know that to get to the next place in my life, I have to start studying, like right now. People are telling me, you need to study. You need to do what Ernie did. You need to recreate yourself. You don't have what it takes to get to the next level unless you study. And every day, I know I need to study, and every day, I do comfortable things. Not terrible things, not sinful things, not acting out things, but not the studying. Now, unless I'm willing to go the extra lane to get there, I'm not going to be able to get there to the place where people are telling me I need to study. So what am I telling myself? I'm telling myself that comfortability is more important than the destination where I want to go. And the moment I do that, then my expectations, I naturally have to lower them because I'm not going to the place where I said I was going to go. So that's why I brought up the word expectations. I think it's very healthy that this weekend we have healthy expectations about wanting to glean something from the speakers, because I think that's, we don't just come here for cigars and food and fellowship, I hope. I hope we come here because each one of the speakers hopefully is listening to the voice of God. And each one of the speakers is going to regurgitate what they're listening, hopefully doing the third step before we speak, before the speakers speak, so that we know that the message is not about them. The message is not just about their experience, strength, and hope, but it's also about the experience that's coming down from God to us. God, I offer myself to thee to build with me, to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self so that I can better do thy will. In that part of the third step, we're saying, God, help me to be a vessel for you. And then third thing is, if my expectation is reasonable, then my positioning, my posture is going to be a posture of listening. Every one of the speakers this weekend, or even one of the small groups, or even the small circles, my posture will be a posture of listening, which is not always comfortable for me. It's not going to be a posture of telling you what I know. It's not going to be a posture of trying to minister to you all the time. It's that my posture needs to be a posture of receiving also. And Serge, I don't see you taking any notes at all. So this whole talk has been wasted on you. I'm going to leave you with this. Every one of us in here is a miracle. It's a miracle we made it here. It's a miracle we put our busy. Everybody is in here is busy. Trust me. Everybody believes they're the busiest person in the room. Homeless people find themselves very busy. As John liked to say, there's homeless people that judge the other homeless people that don't have the shopping carts. But we took the time out from our busy lives to be here this weekend, and it's a reasonable expectation that God will deliver if that's what we're looking for. So I hope we have an amazing weekend. I thank you for allowing me to be part of the opening, and I care about you guys. I love you guys, and I love this way of life. Blessings.